Good afternoon. This is Dan Jarvis, your host of Tactical Resilience USA podcast. Today's a really kind of a cool guest I get to bring on here and share a little bit of his story and a little bit of the context of the work that we've been able to do. A lot of people look at trauma as something that's exclusive to vets and first responders, and we know that's not the case. So we want to share a little bit of what maybe some of you guys might resonate with, or you might have had to experience something like this in your family. But I want to introduce Evan. Evan is from Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome, Evan. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing good, man. What's you got going on up in Knoxville these days?
Really just working and going to church and just starting a new Celebrate Recovery at the church that I moved to. Myra Mullins and myself and some of the guys with Fight Club Men are going to be really involved in that. So got a lot going on. So staying busy.
Awesome. Why don't you share a little bit, if you don't mind, whatever you're comfortable with. You know, you're obviously, if you're in the Celebrate Recovery, there's some kind of substance use or some kind of issue. Why don't you give a little bit of your backstory? What got you into Celebrate Recovery?
So I work Alcoholics Anonymous program and Celebrate Recovery at the same time. But so back in, I mean, just as long as I can remember, like, I always struggled with acceptance, like who I am or who people see me as, you know, and that's just something huge that I struggled with. And it led to a pretty dark addiction through high school and later on in my later teens and early 20s. Like, it was just, I don't know, I didn't see myself worthy, I guess, to be in the position I'm in with a good family, with all this other stuff. There's always that small voice that was in the back of my mind, like, you're not good enough. You're not going to amount to what everybody else can, you know? And when I was walking through my addiction and stuff, I've been in and out of rehabs. I've been in and out of jail. I got firearm charges, all sorts of stuff was going on in my life. But I guess acceptance was the biggest thing that drove me into, like, partying and smoking and drinking and stuff. And, I started getting heavily into drugs after my dad passed away. My dad passed away when I was 17. And, you know, that's a rough time for, a man that you looked up to pass away, you know, 17, 18, you're just learning about, like, what a man does, what a man is, you know, a godly man at that, because there's no doubt in my mind that my father is in heaven, so, because he led us as God led him, you know, and that's something that I struggled with, you know. I let all the substance and what people thought of me and everything else lead me astray of where I should have been doing the whole time, you know? So, but, after my dad passed away, I started really, like, my and my mom's relationship got really rocky. I moved in with my sister and her husband and, just really relied upon myself, I guess, and doing that, you know, and you're in addiction, you are your own God, almost. Like, you are selfish, you don't care about what you're going to do to anybody, you don't care if it hurts them, you don't care who they are, you know, and steal and do whatever you can do, you know, just to supply for what you need. Or what I needed at the time. And it was just a really big struggle. You know, addiction's very, very dangerous and a very dark place to be in. Especially whenever you deal with depression and anxiety. Because sometimes, like, those are big triggers for me. Like, if I'm depressed, and I have anxiety going on at the same time when I'm alone, I know now that I can like focus on, okay, I need to be with somebody and be with somebody that's going to be there for me, you know, and they might not even know it, like, hey man, you want to hang out? I'll call. So I got a couple buddies I'll call and be like, hey man, you want to go fishing or whatever. But you know, that's just a little bit about my background. I mean, I've been through treatment centers and been through just about everything, jail, whatever. But when I found this counseling through the PTSD and trauma counseling, like the first time it was like, okay, you know, this is kind of goofy, like close your eyes and go back and all this other stuff. I'm like, man, whatever. Well, then that night that you and I had sat down at church and we talked, you know, that's when the spiritual really started like pouring out, and you, like, I could feel the fight going on within me, you know, between my flesh mm-hmm. and the spirit and just everything that's going on. And which, you know, I think Myron called you and was like, I think he's ready to give up. But, and you're like, no, just tell him this is what's supposed to happen. Like, this is good that it's happening. And I kept telling myself all day, I was like, man, this is not good, you know? So, but.
Yeah, it goes back to the, you know, let's back up a little bit. When you were experiencing what you did when you lost your dad, a lot of people don't realize that's a significantly traumatic event for a 17-year-old or for anybody for that matter.
Right.
And what happens is trauma, when you have an overactive nervous system, you're trying to do anything you can to quiet it down.
Yeah.
Right. So we turn to alcohol, drugs, just to kind of numb things out. So what happened when you lost your dad? What happened to your spiritual journey at that point? Where did you move from there?
I mean, realistically, I didn't know what a relationship with God really was whenever he had passed away. So it was like, I was stuck at a point where it was like, okay, well, God, you took my best friend, you know, like almost mm-hmm. just like didn't want to have a relationship with him. You know, I've always went to church and heard about it and this and that, but I was just going through the motions until he passed away, and then I started digging in a little bit deeper, you know, because when I was 18, I went to a teen challenge in Chattanooga, which is an adult 18 and over. I think they call it adult and teen challenge now, but a treatment center, and that's when I really started digging in and, like, starting to grow my relationship with God, you know. I mean, from 18 until last year, last October, I left Epperson in Knoxville and came and joined Fight Club Men with Myron. And it's just been, the difference between then and now is night and day, you know?
Yeah.
But I did.
You do realize it took an act of God to get me to you. You know how that happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, me and Tim went to church at one of the satellite campuses, and his daughter got a flat tire at the main campus, and he ran into Myron out of the blue, and Myron shared your story, and that's when Tim called me and says, hey, you mind coming up? Because we were going to go out to lunch. He goes, you mind coming up here and working with this young man, Evan? And, you know, I got law enforcement background. I knew there was, you know, he shared a little bit. But you were coming down off of whatever it was you were on. And I was a little bit on the worried side that this stuff may not work because we need you to be able to feel the emotions. And for the record, it's not counseling, right? These interventions are non-clinical. So it's a little bit different. And I want to talk a little bit about how we did it with you. Because of your faith capacity, we use what we call the Jesus protocol. So we allow Jesus to come into your disassociation part to disconnect those emotions that were attached to those events. when you slept, and then all of a sudden you started feeling other emotions, right? So what ended up happening is your brain starts cleaning out the clutter, right?
Right.
And you get that top layer sludge taken out. Next thing you know, what was under it starts popping up, and that's when you start feeling other emotions. But yeah, it was so cool to work with you because you were just so kind of went with the flow. I think you did what, 4 sessions or 3 sessions?
Maybe four.
All right. I know that the last one was much shorter, but actually I don't even think we did anything on the last one. I think we just talked.
Yeah.
So I think it was 3 sessions. So I would assume that 17-year-old Evan was probably a little bit pissed off at God for losing dad. I imagine that's a normal reaction for a lot of people. And that's the kind of things that send you down those bad, you know, moments. Do you mind sharing what your drug of choice was?
Started out with hydrocodone and then Percocets, and it kept increasing. And then this last time was heroin and fentanyl. So,
well, fentanyl is claiming a lot of lives, so you're super lucky to be here, man. So I'm gonna go on a limb and say you got a higher purpose,
right,
and a higher calling. So, what do you think your future is gonna look like now?
I mean, realistically, especially after the second session that you and I had, like, it's almost like my entire body weight was lifted off me. And I looked at mine after I got done. I was like, man, I've never felt this good my entire life. And, you know, after that session, I've really been praying about, okay, God, what do you have for me next? You know, because, I mean, in the business world, I'm a business owner, an operator of my own business, but that's one thing, but my goals and plans are kingdom minded at this point. You know, like help start a Celebrate Recovery or be somebody's sponsor in AA, like just all these different things that are my plans and my goals, you know, because I mean I've had so many people help me that have been through addiction, that have been through traumatic events, you know, that have overcome them and that they're walking free now. You know, they're not held back or going back to rehab or going back to jail, you know. That's not a life that any of us are called for. You know, there's not one that walks this earth that wakes up one morning and says, you know what, I want to be a drug addict today, you know? Yeah. So I think that, you know, you go from, okay, I am a drug addict, to, okay, Jesus changed my life. Now, how can I further the kingdom with him, you know, and take other guys under my wing when I get to that point, or when the Lord allows them to be in my life? You know, because it's a two-way street in the addiction side of it. You know, you get a month or two clean, you're on top of the world. You get a year clean, you want to celebrate. You get 10 years clean. I mean, it's just like anything, you know, it can go downhill quick, but I mean, honestly, I haven't even had a desire since you and I have been doing this, the interventions and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't even cross my mind on a daily basis. Hardly ever.
Man, that's awesome, dude. It's so good to hear it. And I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the same thing I do within the veteran and first responder world. You know, when my goal is, because I've come out of that dark place where you've been too,
right,
you kind of want to shine the light back, show the others the way out. And that's so cool. And there's so much value in helping others. As you help others, we help ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, there is no better antidepressant on the planet than helping somebody through a tough time, because there's times where we think things were so bad for us. And if we didn't have somebody carry us through, who knows, we might not have made it. I mean, because, you know, heroin and opiates and fentanyl is killing people at alarming rates in the United States, actually throughout. So it's so cool. And then what ends up happening is as those emotions get regulated and all those bad emotions, because it's not just the trauma we go after, it's that low self-worth. It's the anger. It's the rage. It's the fear, the shame, the guilt. You went through, I've got your list. You went through a metric ton of stuff. Yeah. All right. So there was a lot of baggage, a lot of emotional baggage. And when that stuff gets out of the way, it literally allows you to launch forward. Yeah. And I'm excited to see what happens with you. I know I'm going to be talking with Tim coming up shortly and finding out how we can get into the church communities up in Knoxville, because I have family in Knoxville as well, and I do come up there pretty regular. How do we get into the churches so that we can start setting God's children free? I'm going to plagiarize off of a Green Beret that I worked with. He said he likes to look at the world through kingdom goggles.
Yeah.
So we got to look through kingdom goggles, so we see the way it should be, not the way it is, and never passing judgment on people for life experiences like you. I mean, you've had criminal charges. I was a police officer. I've got zero judgment against you whatsoever, because that's not kingdom goggles. Kingdom goggles means, how do we give grace, peace, and mercy to people? And sometimes you have to not only receive mercy, but you have to be mercy for those who need it. So, well, I can't wait to hear what happens moving forward in the future. I know, whenever I do get up there, and if I can get Tim to organize something, maybe we'll get you to jump in on the training and you can then start mentoring people and do the same thing I do. So
cool.
I can't thank you enough for sharing your story. If there's anything else you want to go out with, you know, feel free to drop some more nuggets in there. Yeah. Your story is amazing.
No, I mean, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. You know, and that goes along with, you never know who's struggling, but if you are and you come across this podcast, that there are people out here that are good, godly people that are willing to help. Just because, you know, church hurts a big thing, or, well, I've done therapy and I've done counseling, like, okay, those are steps, but to truly be set free, you have to be open for it to happen, you know?
So, amen.
But yeah, man, it was awesome getting on here, so thank you.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your story, and, you know, there's power in vulnerability, and I guarantee you somebody's going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, that's me, or that's my son, or that's my dad, or that's my brother. You know, somebody's going to connect with this, and I would hope that you guys would reach out. Feel free to contact me, Dan, at tacticalresiliencyusa.com, and we'll catch you guys on the high ground.
Awesome.